This is Dennis and Friends.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Dennis and Friends podcast, a place where my friends and I talk about whatever we want to talk about, whatever interests us, what's going on in life and around the world. I'm Dennis, the host of the show. This is episode 56, and it's been a minute. I'm so sorry, but I got sick. Which I never get sick, you guys. If you know me really well, you know that I only ever deal with allergies. So, like, actually, like, having to, like, lay down in bed and, like, rest because of sickness was kind of weird over the weekend. And I might cough during this episode and flare up a little bit. So, excuse me if you hear that. But I'm over it now. My voice is at a point where I can talk again because that's really what happened. My voice went away and then I had a little bit of fever, a little bit of chills and stuff. But really, my voice was shot and was coughing up a lot of nasty stuff. Like that, to demonstrate. Not really to demonstrate, but anyways. So, finally back on the show. It's late Thursday night, December 8th, the night before the start of the quarterfinals of the World Cup. And naturally, we haven't talked about the round of 16 at all, so we need to talk about the round of 16. So, Dawson Maxwell is here to do it with me. So, let's get into it. Let's get it out of the way, dude. U.S.-Netherlands. That was the first game of the round of 16, and I know that we've talked about it off air quite a bit in our group chat and all that stuff, but put a bow on this run for the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good run. It really was. I think we just, like, we put up a good fight against England, obviously, in our group. But I think our lack of creativity on offense really, really showed against the Netherlands. Louis van Gaal outclassed us on a whole nother level, set his squad up for a great performance defensively, and they just picked us apart offensively. So I think it was a good loss for us to take because it really exposed that, like, we kind of mentioned it a couple times in the group stage podcast, but, like, there's a part of me that really feels like we got lucky in the group stage. You know, like, we had that unfortunate tie with Wales, but, like, we got lucky against England with Southgate's game. Honestly, we kind of got lucky to not tie Iran, in my opinion, looking back on things. So, yeah, I think it was a good loss for us to take. I think, hopefully, the organization is looking critically at what happened and is going to make the appropriate adjustments. I don't have a lot of faith that those adjustments will be made, though, but they should.
Man, I thought there was a lot of the game where the U.S. played well, but going back to your point about Van Gaal, who I super agree, he dominated and outclassed and outcoached Berhalter for sure. Ended up being great strategy to just let the U.S. run with all the possession because they were really tired, and it really allowed the Netherlands to take advantage second half and to have more control of the game. Obviously, what it came down to was just defending in the box, like, you know, Tyler Adams and Musa, to some degree, losing Memphis on the first goal. Des losing Blind on the second goal. Robinson or Ream, one of the two, missing Dumfries. Man of the match for me, by the way, on the third goal. There's not even, like, real analysis to that. It's just, like, football 101. Like, just guard the people in the box. You know what I mean? I felt so bad for Matt because Matt did so well in that game and the little that he could do to stop stuff. And yet, he couldn't do anything about those three goals. Like, nothing. Haji Wright, that flick that he somehow got in, I don't understand.
Again, we really don't understand. Lucky. That's the epitome of the run. Haji Wright's goal epitomizes our run.
So weird. Ferreira starting was a terrible decision. Gio came on and absolutely was amazing. Like, made stuff happen. Like, that should have been the thing from the get-go. What did we say before? Pulisic on the left, way at striker, and Reyna on the right. That's what it should have been from the get-go because Reyna was awesome in the second half. Aronson, I thought, was... I thought he was fine.
He's okay.
The midfield played pretty well for the most part. What were you going to say?
But also, like, Aronson being met is, like, that's what happens when you don't give him minutes.
Yeah.
Same for Gio. Like, Gio, honestly, like, he was good. He was creating, but he wasn't amazing. Like, I saw a couple tweets of, like, okay, we need to calm down with the Gio, like, Superboy hype. And, like, I don't agree with that because, like, he's insanely talented. But, like, the merit to that is, like, when you're not giving these super talented players playing time and enough time to like settle into the groove of things. Like you can't be expecting like to bring Gio on and him like win us the game. Like dude hasn't got like all but like 30 minutes in the group stage, you know? Like what do you think?
Not even. He had 12 in the England game.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And then same goes for Aaronson. Like he got a little bit more than Gio, but yeah, it's just they're not cooking in the group stage. They're not getting accustomed to actual game time with these guys that they're playing with. And so, yeah, you just can't expect that from them.
I will also say in Ferreira's defense, and I think I said this in our group chat, the tactic of Greg just not having the strikers press is just stupid to me because for like Ferreira can press and press well. Like he did it decently at FC Dallas this year. It's not like him and Areola weren't one of the best duos this year because of their pressing ability, both of them.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he just didn't do that was like weird. So like that's part of the reason why he wasn't as effective because you were taking away one of his best things. So yeah. Come on, Greg, do better. Do you think Greg makes it past 2024?
Man, I mean, there's so many contingencies on that. Just with given all like the tournaments and things in between. I hope not. Just because, and I mean, like we've been critical of Greg, and he was the right coach for us coming out of 2018 and this transition period, I think. But I think sticking with him definitely through another World Cup, so he should not be with us in 26. And I don't think that he will just because that's, you know, kind of the nature of the job. But I think sticking with him any longer than 2024 shows just a contentness with complacency, you know, and like a lack of really wanting to develop the talent that we have and push our limits in these kind of competitions. Cause you know, like everybody expects, like right now after 2014, we're kind of expected to get out of the group stage. Like that's how I was kind of viewing this. And I'm sure all of us were viewing it coming into it. Like, of course we're going to get out of the group stage after that question marks, you know, and you know, I was obviously upset, but like around a first round exit in the World Cup, I'll take it, you know, but I don't really want to take it for, you know, years and years to come if we're going to like continue to call the U.S. a country that wants to develop its soccer program, football program.
Yeah, I don't feel like he makes it past the summer of 24. It sounds like the U.S. is going to play Copa America, which is fantastic. Please play all the tournaments, especially
all of them.
There's no qualifying for the U.S. or Mexico or Canada. So all three of those teams need to be playing. Obviously, they're going to play Gold Cup, but they need to be playing Copa America. Like, they have to. Like, getting that experience against good quality South American sides, even the ones that didn't make the Cup this year, like Peru is always pretty solid. Chile has been solid over the last few years, even though they've kind of declined a little bit. You know, teams like that or countries like that, and you still have the heavy hitters like Uruguay and Brazil and Argentina.
Yeah.
So, got to play that. It sounds like the U.S. might even host it. I'm not sure yet, but I've heard that rumor being floated around because I think whoever was going to host it pulled out for whatever reason or was taken away by CONMEBOL or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Yeah, I definitely agree. That's a tournament that is great for all three of those teams, like Mexico, U.S., and Canada, because like we can't just keep – the Gold Cup is nice, but like it's not going to be something to like, you know, have any like – bragging rights over anything.
Yeah, playing Jamaica doesn't set you up for success. No disrespect to Jamaica. Playing them, playing Honduras, like that doesn't set you up for success when you're hosting a World Cup in 4 years.
Exactly.
It just doesn't.
So, and we also just can't rely on the odd friendly against a, you know, big name team. Like, I was looking at on our website, and I think we're playing we've got like three or four friendlies in a row against New Zealand, which I'm like, okay, cool. And then we've got a friendly against either Croatia or Serbia.
Okay, well, those friendlies need to be treated importantly and schedule more of those friendlies. Like, exactly. Enough with this, like, oh, we're going to play, I don't know, random.
Jordan.
We're gonna play Qatar, you know? Or we're gonna play, I don't know, some...
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of an African country that's not at the World Cup this year. Egypt, for example. Play England. Play Spain. Play Ukraine, even. Like, even like the good Europe teams that weren't even there. Like, play high-profile friendlies. between now and 26, and it'll go a long way. And it, like, name the good guys there. Like, don't leave Tyler Adams and McKinney at home. No, like they have to play, you know?
Exactly. Because like, even if you're not getting Harry Kane and Saka and Bellingham in England's lineup, like, you're still, you know, playing guys that are most likely starting in the Prem, you know?
Exactly.
Playing that talent, which is great. And yeah. And then I guess also my one last thing, if we're about to move on from Netherlands, US, Greg's comment about us not having a Memphis Depay level player that scores in the Champions League made me irrationally angry.
Yeah, that was a dumb comment. That straight up just was like, who cares?
Because that's just, it's, but it also with cap. It's cap.
Well, yes. Yes, I agree. Because
Depay doesn't have a goal in the Champions League in the past two seasons. And you know who does?
PFOK.
And Pulisic. And Reyna.
And all these other guys, yeah.
Like three or four guys on the US team, including PFOK. It's just cringe. Top tier cringe from Greg. That's my last comment.
All in all, a good run. But kudos to the Netherlands. I thought they played really well.
Yes, they did. Yeah. Not to take away from their dub, because it was great.
Right. The other game on Saturday was the Argentina game, right? Against Australia.
Yep.
Messi's goal was great, as always. Yes. I was really impressed with the play of his bodyguard, being Rodrigo De Paul, who was terrible in the first two games of the group stage. Terrible. But he's picked it up since the Poland game. He was awesome. Awesome the other day. If you don't know where Rodrigo plays, he plays at Atletico. He just transferred there not too long ago. A couple big saves there at the end. I thought Lisandro Martinez had a nice clearance. Emi Martinez was huge in this game. Obviously, the goal that Australia had was kind of fluky because it took a wicked deflection. But they also played decently well against them. So I don't know what other thoughts you have, but that's kind of where I've settled on that game, is that Argentina obviously played better, but Australia like didn't seem like a team that were like scared for the challenge.
Yeah, I agree. Messi's goal was fantastic. I think I'm looking at like the competition here, because like right now the favorites for the World Cup are obviously Argentina, Brazil, and one of England or France, and maybe I guess Portugal. I don't really say Portugal, but I want to say that Argentina got the toughest draw in Australia in the first round. Like, I feel like they had the toughest game out of the favorites in the World Cup. I think it could be questionable.
I mean, looking back on it now, sure.
Yeah. But like, and I don't know if that's just how much better, you know, Brazil was than South Korea, because they did look good in the group stage. But yeah, I mean, Australia played really well, and I think they just had that mentality of like leaving it all out there and really going to take it to whoever they got. So all credit to them. But yeah, Argentina looked great.
Yeah, I don't have much else to add to that game. Sunday was Senegal and England. Let's start there. Man, England played really well, second half especially. Yeah. But Senegal had control of the game in the first 30 minutes. I thought they were going to score, and they didn't.
Yeah, they could have had one or two there.
That goal from Henderson, like the setup there from Jude, was spectacular.
It was.
Please come to Liverpool, Jude! Please! That picture of you and Henderson, like,
dude,
in each other's faces is just like, that's what I'm going to hang my hopes on for the next 6 months.
Yeah, dude.
Gosh. And then the second goal, was that the Kane goal?
Yeah, Kane's just...
Oh, gosh, that was filthy. Nasty. The pace on the strike was awesome.
It was like a mini knuckleball, too.
Yeah.
Like, in the replay, they showed it from the, like, behind his back view. Like, when it happened in real time, I was like... It just kind of looks like he goes straight at the keeper, and I'm like, oh, that kind of keeper could have given a better effort there. But then they showed the slowdown replay, and I'm like, oh my goodness, that was a just nasty finish.
And then Saka scored the third one, right? I honestly don't remember how he scored it.
Yeah, I think I want to say it was similar to Henderson's goal. Oh, it was like a he like hit it into the ground, and it kind of chipped over the keeper.
Right. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it was a good finish.
Yeah.
Saka's looked really good.
Yeah, he's been great. I've been impressed with him. I thought Foden was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yes. It was a Foden assisted Saka on the last goal. And Foden's I remember it now. He megs the guy. Yes. And Foden looked great that game, too.
Yeah.
He's a great player, man.
Do you think that's the midfield? Because, it was very successful.
Henderson, Declan, and Bellingham.
Yeah.
And Foden on the wing and Saka. Harry. Yeah, I mean, honestly, Jordan Henderson's kind of looked very solid. So who did he, because he wasn't starting the first group stage game, right?
Right. He's replaced Mason Mount.
Oh, yeah. I don't know too much. I know he's on, I don't know. I'm such a fake Chelsea fan. Is he still at Chelsea?
Yeah, but he might not be there much longer.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe.
I don't even know how his form has been in the Prem, but I mean, yeah, just judging on Jordan Henderson's play right now and what he means to that team right now and just the country of England too. Like, everybody loves him.
His leadership, I really think, has meant a lot in this,
yeah,
in this tournament, more so than any other, because he wasn't really allowed to be one, I felt like, in 2018, uh-huh, because there was a lot of older heads with him.
Yeah,
but he's kind of the old head of this team. So
yeah. And I think, I don't know if it's him or if it's just the, like, overall attitude of England right now, but, like, just watching them, whenever they score, like, they're, for, like, on all three of the goals, except for maybe Kane's, because I think his was more of a solo goal. But, like, even in the group stage, when somebody scores, they run straight to the guy that assisted them. And I just think that's something that's, like, so, it's such a minimal thing to do that builds your team chemistry up so much of, like, recognizing the team play and things like that, and they just do that so well. And I'm gonna attribute it to Jordan Henderson, but I don't know if that's the actual answer.
I think that's a lot on Southgate too. I think he set up a good culture because they are very united right now.
That's awesome.
Very, like, together, linked up as a team. All 25 of them, 25 because Ben White's not there anymore. Also, Raheem Sterling is not there because his home got broken into. But the guys at The Athletic were saying today that he's on the way back right now. So he should be training with the team Friday. And then he should be in contention for the game on Saturday. But he probably won't start. And he shouldn't. Like fitness-wise, he shouldn't.
Yeah. So. Foden would be over him, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
and plus, Foden has been the better fit anyway, as of now.
Yeah, I like that better.
But Raheem would be really nice off the bench.
Yeah, he would.
If you need it, especially with the team that they're going to play, which is who we're going to talk about next, and that's France, because they beat Poland. That game went about as well as I thought it was going to. I mean, that penalty that they got at the end was, man, whatever. Like, hooray, Lewandowski, here's your consolation goal.
Yeah, right.
See you never again at the World Cup. Because you're old.
Yeah, but exactly.
Shout out Giroud for breaking Henry's record. But oh my gosh, Mbappe is incredible. He's to me the best player at the World Cup right now.
I agree. No doubt about it.
So
good. He looks so good. This game was kind of meh for me, other than just Mbappe is amazing. France looks so good, but I mean, like I was saying earlier, I'm not so sure that Poland was too much of a task for them. Like, they had a couple chances in the beginning of the, or in the, towards the end of the first half, I thought. Yeah. But, I mean, it was kind of a cakewalk game. And then that pen was just whatever. There was 5 minutes of stoppage time, and the pen was in the ninth
minute
of stoppage time. Yeah. So, like,
and I think he had to retake it because somebody, I think Lloris was off his line. Whatever.
Yeah.
So dumb. So dumb. Talk about how those teams will play each other on Saturday here in a sec. Monday's games were one really interesting one and then one not interesting one, scoreline wise. Let's start with the less fun one, which is Brazil, South Korea. Pure domination. I mean, I don't even know. There's literally no analysis to this game other than Brazil looked really good.
Yeah, Brazil looked fantastic. It was just complete domination. All three of the goals were great. I thought the penalty call was kind of weak. But Neymar did amazing.
I thought it was justified, but, like, barely.
Yeah.
I want to say real quick, though, Alisson had to do some work.
Oh, yes,
and
dude,
he had some awesome saves. Holy, sick. That's my keeper. Anyway.
Yes. I did think so. South Korea's goal was fantastic, but that deflection was wicked. So
yeah.
And was that on Alisson at that point? Was he still in the game?
76? Yeah, he was still in the game, but he couldn't save it. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because they subbed on that old keeper.
Yeah, Weverton, the third.
Was that just way late in the game?
Yeah.
Which, also, love that by...
Same, by Chichi, or Titi, whatever his name is.
Yeah, I thought it was Tete, But
yeah,
when I heard the announcer say Chi-Chi, and I was like, ah, whatever. But yeah, I mean, it was a great morale goal for South Korea. And like, I don't know if you saw the replays of like the fans.
They were super excited.
I loved that for them. Like, you know, because it was like being already, especially like that was the last goal of the game, right?
Yeah, that was the last goal of the game.
So I love that for them, but you hate to see it for Sun because he's awesome. And I mean, they're like, I love that team. They're similar to Japan, where they just have that really, you can tell they're just so bonded and they're just so about the game and about each other.
Very spirited.
Yeah. You hate to see him go out like that, but I mean, Brazil are just something else.
Yeah, and South Korea's coach left after that game, so he's not there anymore.
Really?
But apparently, I think that was decided before. I'm not really sure.
Hmm.
The exciting game of the day was, speaking of Japan and Croatia, which finished on penalties 3-1. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of had a feeling that this game was going to go to penalties just because, like, I was picking Japan to win. But I mentioned it briefly in our earlier group stage episodes. I mentioned something about Croatia just always feels like the villain of the World Cup to me personally, and this was a game, and I feel very much the same about them next round. Like, they just somehow are gritty and they're gonna pull it back and they're gonna, I don't know, they're just like, of course they would win on penalties and of course they would be taking down the underdog, quote unquote underdog, that was very capable of beating them. And on what a horrible goal too. Like, it was a nasty header, but I'm sorry, Croatia's goal, like the cross was beautiful.
The Perisic one?
Yeah. The keeper should have been saving that, in my opinion. He caught him like, so it's bad positioning. Or no, not positioning. It's bad, like, I mean, I guess footwork is what it would fall under, because like as the cross was coming in, he was tracking it, and when it makes contact with Perisic's head, he is mid hop, like he's still hopping to adjust, and so like you can't have both your feet off the ground as the player is like taking their shot. So like it's a really hard thing to like place the blame on the keeper, but like just because I hate, and I know like I love Croatia in the group stage, but it's like a switch flips, man, for them. Like once they get out of the group stage, I do not like Croatia, and it's always just like luck of the draw. Like I like Japan more, so it's unfortunate for them, but I'm gonna be tough on Japan's keeper and say that he should have played that a little bit better, because I mean the header was like 20 yards out. Like it was practically at the 25 yard box line.
Yeah,
but you know, it is what it is.
The penalties were terrible by Japan. Oh my god,
absolutely.
Like, sure, Croatia's keeper saved them all, but also they were poorly kicked. Like poorly kicked. So I don't even.
Yeah, that's where my defense of Japan goes away. Like, once you get to the penalties, they deserve to lose that game because those were some horrible penalties.
Yeah, and Croatia had the better ones, and kudos to them.
Yeah,
I'm so tired of Croatia, though. They literally only win in extra time or in penalties at this stage of the World Cup. So
who do they draw next? Are they
Brazil?
Playing?
They're going to play Brazil.
Yeah, like, it's going to be cathartic for me because hopefully Brazil is going to, you know, beat them handily. But we'll get into it later. But I'm scared of Croatia, to put a bow on it right now.
Sure. Sure. All right. The games on Tuesday, Portugal and Switzerland, the trashing. Let's talk about that one first.
Yeesh.
They're just like United. They play better without Ronaldo.
That's foul. But I agree. Man, that was like, I was so conflicted seeing him on the bench. Like, I don't particularly like the guy when he's playing the game, but he looks so sad. So you got to feel for the guy. But I loved what he said about, like, if Portugal wins, like, hypothetically, if Portugal win the World Cup without me, like, then it's worth it or something like that. And, like, that's a statement that, not that I'm, like, surprised to hear it from Ronaldo, because that's a statement that every player should say. and I think would say, but like, he just has that, like, that's where him and Messi differ a little bit to me, of like, he is a little bit more like reluctant to be the role player, I feel. So that was good to see from him.
I thought, I mean, Ramos was amazing. Oh my gosh. Like, nobody's ever heard of the guy. I knew of him a little bit just because I know that he's at Benfica. And he was in some ways replacing Darwin Nunez's production because Darwin was at Benfica last year. But oh my gosh, he was amazing. Pepe was incredible again. Goal aside, he was just incredible in the back. I thought Switzerland's goal was actually pretty good, to be honest with you. How far the cross came and Akanji's positioning to like boot it in from that close range was good. But they were a little bit disappointing in midfield, I will say, because I thought that they could have probably had more control of the game from their midfield, especially with the form that Xhaka has been playing with. And I thought Shaqiri could have done more to take hold of the game. But yeah, Portugal keeps proving both of us wrong, I would say.
Yeah.
And it's weird. I still don't think this team is going to go much further. But the Swiss were just really, really poor. Even though they had more possession, they were just poor. And didn't have a lot of great chances. Okay, the fun game, the real fun game. This is probably the best game of the round of 16, yeah? You think so?
For sure.
Morocco and Spain, which ended up 0-0, went to penalties, and Morocco scored all three of theirs, and Spain got all three of theirs saved or missed. How did it happen? How was Morocco in the last eight?
Hey, man. Sometimes you just got to go with the flow. Yeah, I think I honestly, like, Morocco and Japan were two of the teams where, like, as I was making a bracket, I, like, made a couple brackets with, I think I made all of mine with Japan going through, and then I made one or two with Morocco going through. Just because, like, Spain had the great game, 7-0 against Costa Rica or whatever, but then, like, they kind of fell off after that, honestly, like, things just weren't clicking. Not that they weren't playing well, because like they were still creating chances. I don't know I can't pinpoint what it is about them, but like they just stopped scoring goals, quite frankly. It's like they scored all the goals of their tournament in that game against Costa Rica, which is unfortunate. But yeah, I mean, this game was really fun to watch. Spain had a lot of quality chances. Morocco defended very, very well. Also, Bono had some insane saves. Insane saves on the penalties too. Like, man of the match, Bono, arguably. Thinking back, there's Danny Olmo, as much as I like him, had a very, you remember that free kick?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
His shot was disgusting. And like, it unfortunately wasn't like right at Bono, but it was like right at like head level of him. And if he had just put that a little bit more towards the corner, I think that could have snuck in. But like, that was a great shot, and that just kind of like wrapped up Spain's game offensively to me, of like, they had chances, they just didn't go their way, or they got saved. And again, honestly, this is another game from Spain where they reach 1,000 passes and they have nothing to show for it, you know.
I mean, they only had one shot on goal, so it's not like they were making even great chances.
Yeah, that's right. That's a very good point. Which, a couple of those shots did hit the woodwork and, you know, get blocked by people and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, you're definitely right. Like, they didn't, for having 13 shots, there should have been far more quality than what there was.
Spain's penalties were awful, too.
Terrible.
Horrible. Why is Sarabia taking the first one? He just got in the game. Yeah, why is Busquets taking one? You've got to get... Let me see who got subbed in and out. I mean, they took out their entire forward line. I mean, but you got to have Morata take one.
Yeah.
And you got to have Ansu Fati take one.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Do you know, like, the specific rules of penalties? Like, if somebody gets subbed out, are they eligible to take a penalty?
No, they're not. Okay. It has to be the 11 that's on the field.
That's tough.
And then if all 11... If it's still tied after 11, I don't remember the rule. Hmm. But it's crazy, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure they recycle? I don't know. I don't remember, to be honest with you. So the guys that could have been available to do it were actually not Morata. Morata
did not
Why does it? Hold on. Why does ESPN?
Oh, he came on in the 64th for Asensio.
Alvaro Mora. What? That's not the same. No, that's not the same. Yeah. They messed that up. They messed that up.
Really?
ESPN. Yeah. So they, I mean, they had Nico Williams, Ansu Fati, Morata, that they could have chose instead of Sarabia.
And how does Pedri fare with penalties?
Yeah.
I feel like he would even do better.
Yeah, I don't know. Luis Enrique got fired or let go or decided to step away from the team, which is totally not surprising at all after all the stuff that he said. It's so ironic that the way that they lost in 2018 was on penalties, and him recently saying, like, I had everybody take 1,000 penalties or asked everybody to take 1,000 penalties.
They didn't score a single one.
For them to not make one is terrible. But I mean, credit to Morocco. They made theirs.
Yep.
All of theirs were good quality.
Yep.
Hakimi's was hilarious, and the celebration, the waddle he did after, was hilarious.
Which I'm sure you've seen, and I'm sure you know already, but this is me being another fake fan moment for me, but I sort of like, so when Sergio Ramos went to PSG, I sort of like never really saw anything else about him. So I kind of have been out of the loop on the Sergio Ramos news. So in my understanding, I did not realize that he was left out of Spain's squad selection. I just assumed that he like retired from international football or something like that. So when all of this stuff with Hakimi and the penalties and all of this happened, that's when I realized and found out the news that he was like just, you know, not selected for the national squad, which blew my mind just from what I know about Ramos, which I'm sure he's taken a step back as he's gotten older and gone to League One and stuff like that. But
the problem with him is that he got hurt and was literally out all of last year. So he's kind of recovering. He's been all right this year. He really has been. But he only made like 5 appearances that I remember last year between Champions League and League One.
Uh-huh.
So he's been trying to get his fitness back and get his form back.
Yeah.
So it is a little bit understandable as to why he was left off.
Yeah.
But also, maybe if he's there, or maybe there's another center back there, you don't have Rodri playing stinking
exactly
center back next to Laporte. Or move Busquets there. Busquets is better served there anyway.
Yeah, and even all that aside, like, and this might, you know, be different for different teams and managers, whatnot. But like, vibe guy, you know.
Yeah.
And he's a veteran leader. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like, that would have been serviceable. But all that to say, what I was originally bringing all this up for was Hakimi's Panenka is like Ramos is pretty versed in the Panenkas.
Yeah.
And then the waddle, isn't that Ramos's celebration?
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure that I saw a tweet that was like, Hakimi just took out Spain using the Panenka, which is one of like Ramos's things, and then also did Ramos's celebration. And then there was like a little picture of them at PSG doing the waddle, which I just thought was...
Yeah, he took notes, clearly.
Yeah, he took notes. He's sending a message to Mr. Enrique.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that game was fantastic, and, you know, you love to see an underdog go far.
Yeah.
Sending all of our dark horse energy from the U.S. to Morocco.
Yes. The first African nation since Ghana to make it to the quarterfinals. Kudos to them.
Crazy. Kudos.
Of the 8 teams left, they're the only African nation. There's 2 South American teams and 5 European teams. And speaking of the quarterfinals, that's what we're going to talk about right now. We're going to dive deep into what we think is going to happen. So starting with tomorrow's games at 9 a.m., which is in 9.5 hours, Croatia and Brazil kick off our day. What do you think happens here?
Dude, I don't know, man. Like, my gut is just telling me, like, 2 or 3-0 Brazil. Just because, like, offensively, Croatia have done very minimal. Like, they do what they need to do to scrape out. Like in the group stage, they do what they need to do to draw. We saw that in their last game. I can't remember who they played, but we saw Belgium maybe. But we saw that against their last game there. Like they pretty much played for the draw and almost got knocked out of the tournament as a result. But they, you know, scraped through. And then this game, they sort of are very you know, not aggressive, not really going for it. So I don't know. I want to say 2 or 3 nil to Brazil, but I feel like Croatia are very capable of taking it down to the wire with this team. So I'm going to say 2-0 Brazil.
I'm going to say 3-0 Brazil.
Okay.
Just because I think they'll be able to crack the code a little bit. I mean, Casemiro is just insane. Yeah. And I think they'll be able to string together stuff. And they're all in such good form right now. And they're so linked that, to me, there's no other way. And also because I want Brazil to win, because I want the setup of a very, very, very fun semifinal between the winner of that game and the winner of the game that we're about to talk about next. But yeah, I feel like Croatia can frustrate them. I will say that that is possible.
Yeah.
But I do think that Brazil is just in a better, way right now. And Croatia, they're not going to get past anybody. Like, they can't even score, really.
I feel like all of their guys are, when I think of Croatia, I just think of Luka Modric being, 37 years old. That's just how I envision their play style. Very too mature, too slow paced, too passive. So yeah, I think this is going to be a game where Brazil has 60-70% possession. They're just going to be taking shots at trying to get through Croatia's back line, and
yeah,
they'll eventually get through. Hopefully. Yeah. I cannot stand it if Croatia wins.
Yeah, I don't think this goes extra time. I really don't.
No.
Okay, the other game on Saturday, or tomorrow. Not Saturday, Friday, tomorrow. Netherlands and Argentina.
So, I'm a little bit nervous for Argentina, honestly. Just because the Netherlands picked up so much momentum in their dub over the U.S. I feel like they're feeling good right now. They played very well. I do think that Argentina, obviously, this is no crazy call, but Argentina is going to be a much bigger challenge offensively, to contain for the Netherlands. So I think that is sort of going to be the thing to tackle there. I think there's going to be a little bit less of clear scoring opportunities for the Netherlands, as opposed to what they saw against us. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a pretty close game for the first half, definitely, but I'm hoping for Argentina to pull away by the second half. So I think this game could go 2-1 Argentina.
I think there's a blueprint for Argentina to do well, and I think they can look back at how Ecuador played them. I'm not saying that just because it's a South American team, but I do think with the way that they are set up in their midfield, that there is something that they can build upon there. And they have not necessarily better players, but more spirited players in that regard. And their back line is better than Ecuador's is. You got to keep starting Julian Alvarez for sure. He's been huge for them since the Poland game. So keep him in the lineup. Di Maria, I don't know if he'll be back. I do think he is a little bit of a miss right now for them. I think this goes, 2-1 is probably a good score. But also I feel like the Netherlands gets that goal late.
Yeah,
I think it's a little bit of a chess match at the start, but Argentina can't burn out all of their energy in the first half.
Yeah,
how the U.S. did. I just don't see how the Netherlands can produce enough compared to Argentina. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
Even though they've been having a good run of form from a couple of guys, specifically Gakpo, but Gakpo wasn't as effective the other night against the U.S. So I don't know. I just feel like their chances are going to be few. And they need to take advantage of it. But then again, you never know. Argentina 2-1. So that puts us at an Argentina-Brazil semifinal, which, please, Lord, give us that.
Oh, dude, that would be so crazy.
The world will set on fire.
Dude, imagine it's potentially Brazil-Argentina. Imagine the timeline that we get Croatia-Netherlands.
Dude, I would not watch on Tuesday. I just wouldn't.
Oh,
I'm already going to miss the first half, so I mean, I would just have an excuse to not watch any of that game.
Exactly. Even just Croatia Argentina is just sounds like not a fun time.
Please, Lord. Please, Lord, no Croatia. Okay. The Saturday games are Morocco and Portugal. Let's start with that one before we talk about the really, really crazy one.
Dude, I'm not even gonna make a score prediction on this one, and here's why. Because I have gotten every single thing wrong about Portugal this World Cup, and I do not know. I'm just going to take the massive L on Portugal. I don't know what to expect from them. I feel like the games that I think they're going to do good, they do meh. And then I had Switzerland going through on like almost all of my brackets because I was such a hater and such a non-believer in Portugal. And then they show up and they score 6 goals. Like, I don't know what to expect from them. And I certainly don't really know what to expect from Morocco now that they've gone through. Not going to make a score prediction, but I'm just going to say that Morocco is going to win. Sure.
I think this is going to go to penalties.
Yeah.
There's one match where I think goes to penalties of the four. I think this is the one.
Really?
I do think that Portugal is going to struggle to break through, regardless of who's in there, because Morocco's just so organized and well-gelled up defensively. And Bonho's in such great form at goalkeeper that...
That's true. He's killing it.
This is going to be a rough time for Portugal, I feel like, regardless of if Ronaldo's there, if he's not there, if you throw in whoever. I just feel like it's going to be a frustrating day for them creatively. So,
yeah.
And I don't like Portugal, and I want Morocco to get through. I think it would be really cool if Morocco made a semifinal. That would be good for the state of the game.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say Morocco goes to penalties and they win it. That's what I'm going to
exact
say.
Exact score line of penalties? Go.
4-3.
Yeah. Okay. Highest scoring penalty.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it. I mean, they're not going to get 3-0. Like, Morocco's not going to get 3-0 again. There's no way, right?
Don't doubt Bono.
Or they might be terrible kicks from Portugal. But sure. I doubt that. Sure. I super doubt that. Especially with Bruno and Cristiano and all them.
Ronaldo sending it to the stands.
Bro, 50 feet away. Anyways, the real big game, the best game of the quarterfinals.
Dude, yeah, this feels like a final.
Yeah, it honestly should be. It feels super weird that it's a quarterfinal. We're talking about England-France. Go. I have many thoughts on this game, but go.
Yeah, it's so exciting, you know? Like, the form that both of these teams are in, it's like they're almost like, obviously these teams are really different, but like the form that they're in is pretty similar. Like, if you just look at how well the buildup of all of these team goals are, like, Mbappe has had his couple solo goals, Kane has had his one kind of solo goal, but you take those out of the equation and like, these are teams that are both doing very, very well on the buildup, and they're doing very, very well at picking each other out in the box. Not too many teams, honestly, have done as well as these two teams have with crosses, low crosses, high crosses, you know, crosses that are like from the corner, crosses that are a little bit further out. Like, these teams are doing very, very well at creating assists, creating goal-scoring opportunities. So given the pace of obviously Mbappe, but also the pace of guys like Saka, guys like Foden, guys like Rashford off the bench for England. Like, this is a very, very, this is going to be a very, very fast-paced game, I think. It's 50-50 on if we're going to see a high-scoring or low-scoring game. It's just going to depend on the form of, you know, the back line and the two center backs for both teams, which John Stones and Harry Maguire have been in amazing form this World Cup. So I think I'm going to lean with the side of the more exciting match. I'm going to say France 3-2. I think this is going to have a lot of goals, and I think France has just got the slight edge over this England side. Like, it just sucks that they're meeting this early. But it's going to be a great game regardless. What do you think?
4-3. Give me all the goals in this game, man. I'm so excited.
4-3 is France or England?
Oh, let me get there.
Oh, okay. You're building it up?
I'm building it up, even though I think you know what I'm going to say. 4-3.
I actually don't know.
Okay.
Weird to hear.
It's going to be so wide open. I hope it's just up and down, like that there's no like, oh, we're going to play from the back. Like, no, just send it forward. You got everybody that's really good on both sides. Like, let's just go. I think the key to the game, genuinely, I think the key to the game is the Kyle Walker versus Kylian Mbappe matchup.
Yeah,
because Kyle Walker is saying that he's going to be fine, but I don't think he's going to be fine.
No.
He's not the defender that he once was. And I know that Southgate really likes him and that he prefers him to other guys. It's going to be rough. It's going to be rough. Because Mbappe just has this second gear when he runs that he'll just turn on, this afterburner, essentially, that like nobody can stop.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you might be able to keep up with him when he's in first gear, but when he shifts into second gear, like, you ain't stopping that. Any day of the week. So that, to me, I think is going to cause the left-hand side of France, the right-hand side of England, havoc.
Yeah.
You know? Midfield will be really key. Will Jude and Declan and Jordan be the starting midfield? And will whoever is in midfield, will they make sure to do a good job of dominating and controlling the game from there? Because you don't want to leave that in the hands of Tchouaméni and Rabiot, because they will, especially with how Tchouaméni has been everywhere.
Yeah.
This tournament, he's like third or fourth in kilometers or miles run, so or distance covered. So I think France wins.
Yeah.
As much as I think England has a real shot, and as much as I think they're a good team and they've gotten better as the tournament has gone on, I just feel like the best player on that field is playing for France. And I think Deschamps in this game is a better coach than Southgate is. Because Southgate, I just can't trust him. I just can't trust him. Even though he has not been awful in this tournament.
Yeah.
He's had his moments here and there, but he's not been awful. He's done good with the midfield selection.
Yeah.
Just don't toy with it, you know? I mean, they have to start Foden. I almost feel like you have to start Rashford, but that would take out Bukayo Saka. So, I don't know. I don't know. That's a tough call to make. But they have to make the right subs because it's going to be a barn burner.
Yeah, I agree.
I do think this could go to extra time. I definitely think this could go to penalties, and it'd be really stressful and really exciting for us.
Yeah.
Stressful if you are a French or British citizen. But
yeah, I would hate to see this game go to penalties because, like, obviously, as we've seen.
Oh, and if it's going to penalties, I'm taking England. Because I don't trust Lloris. No, I'm trusting Pickford. Trusting Pickford more than Lloris.
Pickford is by far the better keeper. And one of the keepers in amazing form right now. Like, the saves that he's been making. The saves that we forgot to mention, the saves that he made in the Senegal game. He had some nasty saves there, too. Like, yeah, I agree with you. If I don't even think about Lloris. He's been mid. But anyway, not to count penalties out as, like, you know, boring, because we've definitely seen that, like, there is strategy involved in taking penalty kicks. There is strategy involved in saving a penalty kick. So, like, penalty kicks are not any means a crapshoot of who wins. But I don't know. I would love to have this game decided in open play as opposed to penalties.
Yeah, I agree. I hope it does too. I'm just saying, like, that is a very real possibility.
For sure.
So we said the same four teams: Brazil, Argentina, Morocco, France.
Yep.
Okay.
We did.
That's a fun semifinal group.
That is a fun semifinal group.
Obviously, the more popular one is Portugal instead of Morocco, but
yeah, sure.
This World Cup has been so different, and, like, you know, a lot of upsets and a lot of, you know, unexpected that, like, there has to be that element in the semifinal too, and I think Morocco has to be there for that to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What a crazy game to envision, though. Morocco versus France.
Yeah. France would struggle, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because of how organized Morocco is.
Yeah, that's the wonderful thing to watch about Morocco's team so far, is, like, they are the underdogs, but, like, they're one of the best looking underdog sides, I think, that has been present in any competition in a while. So all credit to them and their key players so far.
Yeah, and their coach. I think their coach deserves a lot of credit in that as well. I think he's not even that tenured. Like, he has only been there for like a few months. Kudos to him for doing it on such short time, you know? Like, he's done an amazing job since, like, I think September is when he got hired, or August, something like that. Like, not too long ago. So kudos to him. Is that all the games? That's the sucky part about it.
We're down to small game numbers now.
Yeah. World Cup, stay forever, please. A couple of random shout-outs real quick. Shout-out Baker Mayfield.
Oh yeah, I was gonna
for one getting cut, but then also winning the game tonight against the Rams
with 48 hours of practice at the Rams facility.
That's the dumbest thing, dude.
So silly. I wasn't watching the game, but I was watching the stats. So I got a couple of fantasy guys in there, but I mean, I can just tell by the stats that I, and the play-by-plays that I was looking at, that the Raiders, like Derek Carr, is just so wishy-washy of being like fringe top 10, top 8, and then just being like the most mid quarterback in the world. And he was mid tonight. Yeah. Below mid.
Shout out the Mavs for not looking terrible once again. Shout out the Suns for looking terrible the last couple games.
Shout out Devin Booker for being the most physical contact player in the world.
God, I can't stand that guy. Gosh. Shout out TCU for making the playoff. I'm actually kind of glad that happened.
Shout out Alabama for not making the playoffs.
Yeah, of course, naturally. And shout out, I don't know if I sent you this. I may have sent it to Clayton. Can you name the player on each team who has ran the most of the 8 teams that are left?
Oh,
and how much they've ran.
Wait, like who on each team that's left has run the most?
Yeah. Just take a gander.
For, I don't even know who I would guess for Croatia.
Who would you guess for? Let me just give you a country name. Who would you guess for the Netherlands?
For the Netherlands, I would guess Dumfries.
No, correct answer is Frankie de Jong at 28.06 miles.
Ooh, Frankie.
Declan Rice is the England one. I just gave that away.
Okay.
27.5. Argentina, what's your guess?
Not Messi.
I said his name earlier, if that helps.
DePaul?
Yes.
Or Julian Alvarez? DePaul?
DePaul, 27.39.
Man.
Brazil.
Brazil, I'm going to say Vinny.
No, this is going to be a surprising one. Marquinhos.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
21.3. Wow, that's a big drop off.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big drop off from the person who is the leader of all 8 of these, which I'll just tell you. I'm just going to spoil it for you. It is Croatia. It's Brozovic, who's ran almost 35 miles.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow. I was going to guess Kovacic for Croatia.
He's probably second. Can you guess the Portugal player? Not Ronaldo, obviously.
Yeah, Ronaldo. Meme guess, Pepe. I'm going to say Bernardo Silva.
Bingo! 22.91 miles. The Morocco one, you're not going to get it. It's Sofiane Amrabat at almost 30 miles. And can you guess the France player?
I feel like you just got to guess Mbappe.
It's not Mbappe.
Yeah.
It is Tchouameni. Yeah.
Yeah.
At 25.04 miles.
Man, those guys are getting around.
The difference between Brozovic and Marquinhos is 13 plus miles.
Goodness. But that makes so much sense, though, looking at how Brazil play, you know?
Well, and Marquinhos didn't play the third game of the group stage, I'm pretty sure.
Wow. Yeah, that's right.
So they're all, like, pretty fresh for the most part.
Yeah. Dang.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, it feels weird to stop this early, but again, we're not in the group stage anymore, which is sad. So
we don't have 25 matches to talk about every
day. I know. What a bummer.
I know.
All right, listeners, thanks for listening to me and my depleted voice after getting sick, making the comeback. Shout out Dawson for being here once again. You're coming up on 10 appearances, I'm pretty sure now, my friend, which is nice. I know, considering you've only been doing this for 3 weeks. So kudos to you. Thanks for being here, listener. If you like what you heard, if you like the show, go rate and review it on Spotify and Apple and all the places. Be sure to follow Dawson and me on social media. Be sure to follow the podcast Instagram at Dennis and Friends Pod, and email dennisandfriendspod@gmail.com if you have any questions or comments or concerns or anything you want to hear or whatever. We will be back at some point, maybe later this weekend, if not early next week, recapping these quarterfinal games and looking ahead to the semifinal matches. as we're winding down on World Cup, I had something that I was going to say as like a, hey, listen to this recommendation, but I don't. So we're just going to end the show here. Thanks for being here. Until next time, be good and do good. Time is out.
Peace.